Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I love him, and he loves us so much. I thank God for what he's doing. I thank God for the way he's moving in our lives, those who follow him. Now, this is a day that the Lord has made. This is Monday, May the 16th, 2022, and I thank God in this wonderful day. The rapture hadn't happened yet, so we got more time to work. Thank God for that. That means people are going to be saved, and people are going to be healed and blessed. You know, yesterday my pastor did a real good reminder message to bring us back to the original blueprint of what God wants to do. and it's a blessing. God is moving by his Spirit. And those who trust and follow God, they'll do the works. And the works will be right. Whatever God gives you to do, whatever comes out of his heart, it's perfect knowledge. It's perfect. It's perfection. When the Lord speaks, when Jesus spoke, it was perfect. When the Lord speaks now, it's perfect knowledge. James said, the wisdom that's from above is first pure. Nothing evil can come from God. Nothing. Everything he do and say and speak and act on is pure. It's pure love. That's why it's holy. Nothing evil can come from him. Only holy things. Love is holy. Wisdom is holy. And it stays holy. And I taught earlier, love balances out wisdom. Love and holiness balances out wisdom. Wisdom and holiness balances out love. Love and wisdom balances out holiness. It keeps it in check to make sure that it stays what it is, the will of God. So nothing evil can come from God. The only way we can be balanced is to be sincere towards God. And you know, when I asked him about that, his definition of balance, he said balance is determined sincerity. It's sincerity with determination. Balance is determined sincerity to the love of God. It's determined sincerity to the holiness of God. And it's determined sincerity to the wisdom of God. All three. And this kind of sincerity stays sincerity. And then he said this. Perfect balance is relentless sincerity. No matter what goes on, no matter what happens, your sincerity is relentless to the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God. Now, proud men, they can't be balanced. The proud mind can't be balanced. You have to be balanced from the heart. And when you renew your mind, you become relentless. Sincerity may start with a desire from the new birth. Once you've been born again, you have the ability to be sincere. And some people desire to be sincere, even though they're not saved yet. They want to know God and they want to do that kind of faith is it pure. The Lord will purify a person like that. Because faith in Jesus cleanses us from all of our sins. So sin is put away. We're washed. We have a new spirit with no sin in it. A new spirit with no sin in it. And when you act on what Jesus said, you produce what he is. When people leave the confines of what Jesus said, then When people leave the confines of what Jesus said, they become something else. And their work is in another image, not his. And Pastor did a good job of showing us that illustration Now, this is why it's important. That was God talking. He gave him that. That was God talking to us. We have to do what he said. If you deviate, you're doing something else. You're outside of the evaluation. I just told my wife this morning, when the Lord tells you something, it's pure. It's well evaluated. It's not like when I make a decision. I can only see what I see in front of me. But the Lord see all around me. And he see all around you. He know the challenges you're going to face. He know what kind of people are going to talk to you. He can see through time. So when he tell you to do something, it's perfect wisdom. And if you do it, you're going to find out it's very perfect. And the more I trust God, the more I trust God. The more I trust God, the more I want to trust God. The more I get to know him, the more I want to trust him and obey him. And the more confident I am in his decisions, not mine. So it's very important to consider these things. Following God is much more important than I thought it was when I first started. When he first told me about when he said the biggest problem in the church is my people don't follow me. They deviate too much. So, and he gave me all kind of revelations since that time, since the early 90s. Now, look at what Jesus said. He said in verse 15, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. All these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." It's necessary. "They shall speak with new tongues." That's necessary. "They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." All this is necessary. Now, taking up the serpents is not like that church that used to take them up. That was foolishness. If you're out in the woods, you're going to minister to a tribe somewhere and a serpent bites you, you could do like Paul and shake it off and keep moving, never get hurt. See, God gave us full authority over the beast of the earth, over everything under Satan's control. And so, if anything deadly, if you drink something deadly, the witches might put something in your water. You won't hurt you. But you got to believe it. You got to claim that immunity. If I get bit by anything, the first thing I do is claim immunity. If I touch something unclean, I claim immunity. If I cut myself, I claim immunity. Nothing shall by no means hurt me. That covers it all. Even Henry Groover, he took authority over radioactive leaves at the Fukushima power plant. He said he took authority over the radioactivity. They had the Geiger counter out there, and it went to zero. And they said, "We need to keep you here." He said, "No, you need to do what I've done. You need to take authority over this." And it's on the you can listen to it yourself on the Sheep and Goat Nations. "Nothing shall by no means hurt you, even nuclear fission, even radioactive leaves." And, you know, they wouldn't let the children play in the leaves or eat the fruit in that area because of the radioactive waste. And it got in the ocean, too. It contaminated fish that we eat. So we need to be taking authority over. We need to be praying over our food and taking authority because we need it. Everything Jesus said is necessary. So, when you stick to the blueprint, you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, think about it this way. I know of things that's going to happen after the rapture. I know of things that's coming upon the earth. Because I listen to people who do the research and know, like Steve Quayle and Timothy Alberino and L.A. Marzulli. I know that the enemy got some heavy plots that he's cooking up. And I don't want people to be here after the rapture that I know. I want them to go with God. And I want whoever can be raptured, I want them raptured. And I thank God for every day that I can do this work. It's not easy to convince people all the time, but by the Holy Spirit, I can. I don't know how to convince people of myself, but God does. It's very important. No, whoever get left, they're gonna wish they had gotten raptured. And you have to think of it this way. What if it was me that didn't know God, and then there are people that know God? I would want them to help me out. In fact, the moment I got saved, I felt the peace of God, and I've had that peace ever since. And I got angry. I said, Lord, nobody told me salvation was like this. I didn't know what to expect, but I did. I couldn't know to expect the peace that I received. And I got upset with my parents. I got upset with every Christian. Why didn't they tell me? He said, the same devil that hindered you from getting saved in the first place hindered them from telling you what it's like. And I forgave him. And so, I was really upset. The same thing happened to Colonel Sanders. He was on a plane, and I think it was two ministers there. And one of them broke down, told him about Jesus. And he got upset. He said, well, you knew the salvation is good. How come you didn't tell me? I remember his testimony about that. He didn't know. When people in the world don't have a clue of how good God is, except for the men. See, they may have heard the word, but they don't know. You don't know what it's like to you unless you get saved yourself. When you get saved yourself, when you believe on Jesus, now you know. You know, I had a Harley Davidson sticker. It was a patch for my jacket. It said, if you have to ask, you wouldn't understand. Talking about the motorcycle. But salvation is so much more. Not only do you get to live forever in the kingdom of God, you get authority. Jesus gave us the whole kingdom. It's a blessing to receive spiritual gifts. They are gifts to help us help others. God gave us gifts to help us help others. And there are three types of gifts. I got pastor's notes. I put it on my wall. One is revelation gifts. There's three of them. Then power gifts. There's three of them. And then the inspiration of our utterance. There's three of those. The revelation gifts is the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirit. We need these things. We need it. See, when you have a compassion for people, you love the people, and you hate the works of darkness in their life. And see, we don't hate the world. Tell people that we hate them, and anybody that sin like them, we hate. No, that's not the way it is. We love the person. We hate the sin. That's compassion. We love the person. We hate their destruction, and also the destruction they cause on other people. We hate that, but we love the person, and that's the only way to stay balanced. If you get mad at the person, now you're changing the rules. You can't change the rules. God loves every soul, just like He loved Jesus. And the people is rude, the corrupt politicians. If you can love those jokers, you can love everybody, and that's what we're supposed to do. But that's not why I love them. I love them because they are people trapped in this negative world, and God loves their soul. Now, when they stop breathing, they already half dead. If they stop breathing, they go to hell. And God don't rejoice in that. I don't rejoice in that. I want to see them get saved. But and they'll do negative things, and that'll cost me time and money. But guess what? God can give us back through the years the canker worm ate. So this is not... Even though it's a cakewalk to us, see, we're supplied by the Holy Spirit, and we just have to learn to live from our kingdom. See, the world can live from their kingdom better than we can ours, and that's how it was in the beginning when Jesus said it. But if you take time and learn, you can actually learn to live in your kingdom, the kingdom of God, better than the world live in theirs. And it's up to you to learn. It's up to it's up to every individual to learn how to do it. And I can say this, following God is the key. You follow God, you're going to trust God where you're supposed to. And you're going to learn, especially if you ask questions. His disciples didn't learn much unless they asked. He gave the parable to everybody, but those that asked got the interpretation. See, all you have to do is say, Lord, how can I, and I'll name my name, how can I, Thurston, learn how to operate in the kingdom of God better than the people of the world operate in the kingdom of the world? And then the wisdom will flow. I opened the door. I knocked. I sought. And I asked. So, and then the training process will begin. When the Lord give me revelation, I won't throw it away. Because I asked for it, and I'm looking for it. By faith. And faith is involved. So, faith is going to help me receive what he has to say. And then, over time, I understand how to live in his kingdom better than I'll be immune to whatever they do. You know, that's what happens when you get to the stage of balance that is relentless sincerity. You learn when in the worst times. Some people have a hard time learning when things are not working well. And the Lord told me, it's easier to learn when things are going good, when there's no pain in your body. When things are going good, that's the time to really seek the Lord, because you're more apt to keep what he said. You're not as distracted. But you can be, it is possible, to be in pain and have things working against you and be so relentless and sincere that you learn anyway. Now, I've done that some in stages of my life. It wasn't the most pleasant thing in the world, but it works. And I was confident to know that I can always seek the Lord. Now, he taught me to seek the Lord as a first and last resort. You don't have a backup plan. Well, if God don't do it, I'm going to do this. No. You seek the Lord. And when things don't go the way you expect, you continue to seek the Lord. You don't. And you wait it out. See, we're going to live forever anyway. We got time. The time that we live is this little duration of time. God can extend it. He can bless us. He can take us far beyond the years that the cankerworm ate. And the enemy do things against us to hurt us. No matter everything he did against me, he thought he had me, but he didn't. I found a way around it. It was a lot of work. I don't care. Because God was with me every day. And I remember those days. I remember the days when I would get off work and then work some more so that I could minister. And until everything got better. So, and it did. So I thank God for that. See, we need these gifts. We need the gift of faith, the working of miracles, the gifts of healing. We need the inspiration gifts, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. We need it. We're equipped. And you have to see yourself as being equipped. And when God moves in your life, enjoy it. Enjoy what he's doing. Now, the Lord, he wants to give us new knowledge. Yesterday, the band, some of the guys in the band got together. I was in a band called Esquire years and years ago. And we get together and have a Bible class once a month. And we do it on the phone. And I love it. I thank God for it. We had a good time yesterday. And our session lasted over 2 hours. But the Lord gave me a message called New Knowledge. And I'll just give a synopsis of it. But what he did in this word that he gave, it shows that he started in Ecclesiastes 1. You know, when Solomon said, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. And he explained what he was talking about in chapter 1. All right. To a man that's in the world without God, that's been separated from the Lord. That's how life is. Now, I got a theory. I'm gonna have to seek the Lord about it, but I know that Solomon, he went to the other side because of his witchy wives, you know, together with the daughter of Pharaoh. They turned his heart. So when that happened, the Lord appeared to him twice trying to get him back. Now, he had already, I believe he already wrote Proverbs first. Then he wrote, I believe he wrote Ecclesiastes after he came back. And the reason I believe he came back is because of chapter 4. Now, you scholars, you may have more knowledge or whatever, and I respect that, but in chapter 4 of Ecclesiastes, it says, so I return. So that's why I believe he came back. But I believe he wrote Ecclesiastes after his backsliding days, because in a backslidden state, all is vanity. When you're with God, you know for a fact it's not vanity. But when you don't see things right, when you believe wrong, everything, you know, just like when the rich young ruler walked away, the first step he took, he began to have sorrow as he walked away from Jesus. And the more he walked away from him, the more sorrow he had. His heart was too hard to yield. And Jesus knew that he loved the money too much. If he had given it away and gave to the poor like Jesus told him to, now you know what would have happened. The blessings of God would have mounted up on his life. He didn't see it that way, but that's what would have happened. Then he would have been an apostle too. And we probably would have been reading his writings, and all of history since that time would have known what happens. They would have had a person of integrity that would have proven by faith that if you give, it would be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, he wasn't there when Jesus taught this on the Sermon on the Mount. I don't believe. I don't know. But that's a living principle, and it'll work for anybody. So that would have interrupted the religious mind of the Jews, the religious mind of the world. Because a rich man would have been going about doing good. They would have saw him with Jesus going about doing good. It would have broken many yokes. I believe it would have been like a landslide revival of sincerity. But he walked away sorrowful. And so you got a lot of people since that time did the opposite. They thought God wants you to be poor because they don't see what Jesus said either. See, if you look at the principles and live by his principles, and you have the courage to knock, seek, and ask, and learn something, you'll learn that you can prosper. And see, I know for a fact, people get upset with preachers when they become wealthy. Some people learn how to work the principles. There's no sense in getting mad at them. Do you know how much money it costs to be on TV? And people that lavish themselves, they're not going to pay for it. if the money is their God, they're not going to buy TV time and radio time. They're going to go lavish themselves. They're going to do something else. But when you have a heart for God and the blessings keep mounting up, you just keep being a blessing. God's got people that love him in every category of life. There are people who listen to God and do what he said do. And there are people who pretend to listen to God, or they listen to God on their terms, like Pastor was saying yesterday. The man, he was cutting the wood. The master carpenter told him to cut it perfectly. And he kept cutting it. He would cut the one on top. Then the next one, he used it, and he kept getting a 16th of an inch off. And over time, now the building's crooked. They got to tear it down and build it over. Because he didn't stick to the template. If you stick to the template, you'll be able to grow from glory to glory, starting from where you are already at. And that's justice. See, you can't. You got to reap what you sow and the way you've sown. If you've sown wrong for years, it's going to affect your future. But once you make start the healing process, you start healing from where you are. And you go, when I ran my credit card up, God didn't tell me to do that. I asked for miracles to get out of debt, but he didn't do it that way. I had to work it off. I had to get my mind right. So I said, I'm going to do this. Whenever I have a challenge and I seek the Lord, Brother Lewis said years ago, get down to business with God and he'll get down to business with you. Now, I can't tell people that he worked a miracle and paid all my debts. It didn't work that way. I had to work it off. I worked and I paid it down. I consolidated. I paid it off. And God blessed me. When I retired, I had a RSA 1 account. I took that and I paid a great portion off, and that did that. It was over with. But I paid it down exponentially until that point. And God blessed me. But when you seek the Lord about the things that you want to do, and he'll bless you. He'll work with you. I listened to my pastor. I said, well, I had a dream car in mind, but first, I'm going to make sure my kids get a car first. When they got old enough to drive, I promised them when they were young. I said, if you do what you're supposed to do, I'll help you. I said, I will get you a car. I said, but, and I told them my requirements. And I said, I kept my word. I got my oldest daughter a car. And then I got my son a truck. And I got my younger daughter a car. She was in a wreck. They hit and ran. I had to fix it over. And once I did that, the Lord came to me and he said, I want to bless you. I said, okay. I started praying for the broadcast like I always. He said, nope, this time I want to bless you. He said, and I told him, I said, well, you know I want that Mustang. I was going to wait another year, you know. I was going to wait another year, but he did it then. And my wife, I was watching the auto auction. My wife got a laptop and came and sat right next to me. She said, what kind of car you like? I said, a Mustang. I said, I want the turbo four-cylinder with the manual transmission. And I said, the color, I want it, it can be, I like that blue I got and the silver or a black one. And I wasn't as particular about the color as I was about the manual transmission. But that was my first choice, that blue one. And end up, Lawrence, I told JoJo, my boss, that I was looking for a car. And Lawrence overheard me. Lawrence Pruitt overheard me, a friend of mine. He said, I'll find you a car. He went on Car Guru and found my car. And it was at a price that I wanted to pay. So I got it. But I was going to wait another year. But, you know, the timing of the Lord, you know, and I look back on it, I enjoyed that car. And I could afford that car. So I got it. Now, God thinks of everything. When you trust him, everything is well evaluated. Well evaluated. He thinks bigger. God has reasons to bless you that you may not see. He has a reason for the way he do everything. The timing of it. Everything is well evaluated. And he will bless faithfulness. That's how it is. If you stick to the protocol, you cannot lose. But if you look at, if you expect it to go a certain way and it don't, that means nothing. That just means that you don't see the whole picture. Nothing that God ever gave me to do, I stopped worrying about how I look. And Pastor said something that I actually did this. He said, I just believe God and take him at his word. If you try to get into the details, you get over in the doubt number. And I did it. I did it so many times, I got tired of losing. I used to ask God for something and try to figure out how he was going to do it. And I end up in unbelief. Or not unbelief, but I end up in doubt. And then that doubt is the off switch. And I got tired of losing. And I asked the Lord, I asked him questions so I can stop making dumb mistakes. And one thing I learned, I said, you know what, I don't care how you do it. When the day I started doing that, I started getting results and much faster than normal. I rest in him. I used to wouldn't even rest unless I made a certain amount of money through my business. I wouldn't take an off day. And I realized I was finna go in the hospital if I didn't stop it. And I said, I'm going to take the weekend off. Now, I said it by faith. It took me a few months to get to the point that I could do that. Or would do that. Because I had promised people so much that I had to work to keep my promises. But I learned to rest in him without worrying about how much money I make. And I would rest by faith, and I would come back stronger the next week. And the Lord helped me solve problems. He said, don't ever worry about money in my presence. Again, he said, every morning before your feet hit the floor, command your angels to bring you cash. It works, folks. Learn what God has to say. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord. And he will direct your path.